We had thank you for all of you who helped and brought things, and every year I managed to get wet. I don't know why that is. It starts with like some young kid coming up very politely saying, "Melinda wants to talk to you over there." And that's my clue. It's like even if I'm not thinking, I'm going to get wet. That's the clue that something is coming. And no matter, every time I try to go get near the bucket, somebody chases me. You know, and then finally, it's the first water that bugs you the most, right? You're nice and dry and the sun is out, and then you get doused and it's the shock, and you say, "Jesus is great," right? Says, "I love you, TJ." Yeah. Let's pray as we open up the Word. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your surprises, even though sometimes they don't feel good when it happens because it shocks us, Lord. But then we realize that it's because you love us and you want to grab our attention. Lord, I pray this morning that we would sense your love for us. Lord, I pray that we would have our attention grabbed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we've been going through a series called Questions That Lead to Greater Faith. And I hope, I know a lot of the questions that we've faced, maybe ones that you were real familiar with, and maybe you're like, "I tucked that away a long time ago." Maybe it's questions you've never asked. And then we've talked before, they're just questions that Christians, people ask about Christianity or ask about God. And I talked about that even though the answers, we can flip off a quick answer, that in thinking about what's being asked helps us live out different lives. We're impacted when we love all of God, not just some of God. And I just want to jump right into it this week and just give you the question that we're looking at. Well, actually, before I do that, I faked you out there. As I just was observing just about questions, will the answers to the questions you and I ask change how we live? That's how you can tell that a question's a serious question, right? Sometimes that we talked about, we ask questions knowing what the right answer is, and when I don't care what you have to say, because I know the right answer, I'm not looking to have my life or mind change. I'm looking to see if you agree with me. I'm talking about, am I willing, if I'm asking questions, serious questions, am I ready to consider serious answers? Will the answers to the questions that you and I ask change how we live? Now I'm ready for the question of today. It says, how can a loving God send people to hell? How can a loving God send people to hell? And you turn me down just a little bit, Luke. There's a little bit of ring. Have you guys ever ask that question or heard somebody ask that question? Yeah. It's a common question that people ask because we always hear about Christianity and that it's all about love. In fact, whether you're somebody in a giving answers in a pageant, right? What do you want? World peace and everybody love each other. Christianity is known for its love. We hear a lot of talking about it, and we're thinking about God. If God is so loving, why would he send people to hell? Let's take a look at what he defines as love. God is love. Have you guys heard that before? God is love. It's interesting in the songs we sang this morning and a couple of words that came this morning, love was a part of that. We find that God is love in the book of John. John was one of the 12 disciples. Okay, his brother, his older brother, was James. James and John. Okay, they were one of the 12. Jesus invited them. They were with their dad Zebedee on the boat fishing, and Jesus comes up and says, "Come follow me." They follow Jesus. They pick up Andrew and Peter, another set of brothers who are fishing. And you look at these three, Peter, James, and John not only were one of the 12, but they're the inner three circle. They got to do things and go places when there wasn't enough room for all 12, whether they're healing the man's daughter, the little 12-year-old. They were the ones who got to go in with the parents. It those places, those special places, those three got to go. It's interesting, if you look at John, he was so close to Jesus. You know how John describes himself? The one whom Jesus loved. Apparently he didn't love anybody else, just John. Right? That may sound like a very prideful statement. It's like, what do you mean, the one whom Jesus loved? John was acknowledging his relationship with Jesus. I know Jesus loves me. There was a reality and a confidence that John came to know about God and his son Jesus. It wasn't, I'm better than you. It was a reality, the one whom Jesus loves. In fact, we know that up-close view that John had, along with all the teaching and parables, he got to hear it the first time that message spoke. It came, he's like, oh, that's a new parable. Write that one down. That's a good one, Jesus. We haven't heard that one before. And they get to hear firsthand. They not only get to hang out and hear Jesus teaching, they get to see what Jesus looks like with bed hair when he wakes up in the morning. They get to see what Jesus looks like when he's hungry. They get to see what Jesus is like when he's tired. They get to see Jesus handle difficult people and situations. They get to see what he does when he gets away, as he spends time in prayer with his Father. They had a close-up, personal view. John in particular. In fact, it was such a close relationship that you see John sitting at the Last Supper, sitting next to Jesus, reclined. They even picture, because back then with the supper you laid down and ate. I don't like that personally, because I get food all over the place. But back then that was a relaxing. You got a pillow to lean on. You're eating, and next to him is John. And Peter says, hey, ask Jesus who he's talking about. He's talking about who would betray him. And those close-up questions that John got to experience, got to ask. I think we could all agree that John would have a good handle on who Jesus was and what he was about. So when John writes in 1 John 4, he writes, whoever does not know God, whoever does not love, does not know God, because God is love. When he writes that statement, he's writing out of experience. He's writing out how he's experienced that truth. Think about every person that Jesus came and touched their life. They were changed people. Think about Zacchaeus, right? Wee little man, short guy, climbing up the sycamore tree. Had to run up ahead of the parade to get up there. He's disliked because he's not only short, he's a traitor to the nation because he's a tax collector. And not only that, he collects more than he should because he is really rich. Jesus comes up, points him out, and you remember the story. He says, Zacchaeus, come down. Today, I'm going to go to your house and have dinner with you. Zacchaeus is so touched by Jesus' love that he changes how he lives his life. John knew that for you and I to experience Jesus changes how we treat people. John continues in verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God shows His love to us by what He gives. God shows His love by what He sacrifices. And really, it's not just a sacrificing love, right? It's a life-giving love. They're changed, people are changed by it. It's an initiating love, a go-first kind of love. You been in places where you don't want to go first? It's like, no, you go first. No, you go first. No, you go first. Friends say, okay, I'll go first. God initiates. When He sent Jesus, not waiting for us to look for Him, He went looking for us. To know God's love is to know God. They're inexplicably, undeniably, you can't separate those two things. Because if you know God's love, then you know God. When we experience God's love, we're drawn to express it. Let's look at 1 John 2, verses 4 to 6. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. Because God is love, doing what God says to do, okay, get this. If God is love, when I do what He says to do, give me, like, what is that 10 something, the 10 commandments? Just saying, start out with those. Because God is love, when I do what He says to do, it is an expression of God's love. Because if God is love, everything, if He says to do something and I do it, I'm experiencing God's love. It's an amazing thing. God is love. So my knowing who He is and experiencing who God is comes out of me doing what He says. I'm sorry, but I hope you just kind of soak that one in. It's an amazing thing. That's why Jesus says, if you love me, do what I tell you to do. So when we walk in disobedience to His love, it proves that we don't know God. We don't understand His love. We cannot know and experience God without obeying His commands. Here's a self-test. Does my life, how I'm living, reflect Jesus? Yes, it does. I know God. No, it doesn't. I don't know Him yet. How God loves us. I just want to highlight, I'm not sure how many there are here, I didn't count them out, but there's several. But how God loves us. God's love doesn't look the other way. God's love doesn't look the other way. How do you love your creation when they rebel against you? Do you just allow them to do what they want to do? Or do you pursue them like good parents? Parents who love their children, what? Discipline them. Is it harder to let your kids do what they want or harder to discipline them? It's harder to discipline them. Because you got to think it through. You got to follow up what you told them to do. You got to tell them again. You got to structure consequences that make sense to them. You got to talk to them. I told before, as we discipline our kids, and I went to parenting classes and knew that I should never, you know, discipline my kids in anger. So we would say, go to your room. We both need a 10-minute break here or whatever. It's like, okay, here, what's the rules? What did we talk about? That was really frustrating, but I'm not going to spank them in anger. I'd go in and we'd talk about it. I'd say, do you know what happened? Yeah. Do you know what's going to happen next? Yeah. Do you know why it's going to happen? Yeah. Do you know that I love you? because I wouldn't take this time. Because if I was just about disciplining them and getting it over with, I would just spank them and let them, send them to their room. But I was interested in seeing them changed because of it. So we'd take the time to talk about it. Because we didn't want it to happen again. We wanted what was behind that decision to do things to be changed. God's love doesn't just look the other way. It stays involved. It stays invested. God's love is dependable. God is a creator of order. We talk about this to the second they knew when the eclipse was going to happen. And it was fascinating. It just is, you got to trust the eclipse guy's story is going to come in a couple of times this morning. As I was amazed. But God's is dependable, even though it looks different. I was talking to a friend. He said, yeah, it just sparked all kinds of questions. And I said, I know. I was like sitting there. We got this moon going around. We got the earth going around the sun. And got the earth. It's like, does our galaxy move through space? Guess what I did? Got my phone out. Does our galaxy move through space? Okay, I voice texted it. Oh, that's not quick enough on my thumbs. But come to find out, it showed this, flipped into a little video that showed the regular picture here, right? We're all familiar with, going around the sun. And then it flipped it sideways. This is how it goes around the sun. Sun, our whole solar system, the whole Milky Way galaxy is moving through space. I don't know, maybe you knew that, but I didn't know that. I'm like, that's kind of creepy, scary, exciting, amazing all at once. That God knew and put things in order. And we're still such a scratch in the surface of the amazing person that He is. God has placed physical laws that govern the universe. Even though we don't understand them all, as they discover the principles that guide the universe, to see the consistency, why they can time the moon when it happened. You know, there's one umpteen years ago that was 7 minutes long. When the next one's going to happen, where it's going to happen, how long it's going to be. Why? Because God is dependable. It's interesting, though, with all the warnings to not look at the sun without proper eye protection. I know you're just going to blow you away, but there are people who looked at the sun without any eye protection. A New York rapper stared at the sun without any protection. He had to cancel his tour because of unforeseen circumstances. He twittered his fans, "Do you think I was stupid to look at the sun without eye protection?" I wasn't one of his fans, but I could have responded to that. Like physical laws, God has placed moral laws that govern people. God's moral laws are consistent with His love in the kingdom of heaven. His laws flow out of and are consistent with His loving character. And just like ignoring those physical laws lead to damage, ignoring His moral laws leads to damage. You can bet on it. You can bank on it. God's love is to be trusted and not used. Loving God's blessing, gifts, and future are not the same as loving God. Let me say that again. Loving God's blessings, His gifts, and even His future is not the same as loving God. As we... people love God's blessings. I know if you had a birthday this week or even today, you get a present. Do you love the present you get? Did you ever get a present from Aunt somebody, so-and-so, who you don't like very well? But do you love her present? Oh, thank you so much. It's just what I wanted. It's like, and you have to go to the hug, right? It's like, oh gosh. It's like, okay, That's over with. Now I can enjoy the toy or the thing she gave me. Loving the gift is not the same as loving the giver. Loving God is reflected when we do what He wants, not what we want. Loving God is reflected when we give up temporary gain for permanent gain. Loving God is reflected in doing what God asks by trading what we see now for God's promises of what we will see. You see, it's loving God saying, I love you so much and I trust you that I'm going to let go of this thing for something better, something different. Have you guys ever been on a trapeze? How many of you guys been on a trapeze? Me neither. I tell you, there's a high ropes course at Washington Family Ranch that guys like TJ and Chris encouraged me to go and do. And what do I tell them? I tell them no. And I said, you go, I'll cheer you on. I'll cheer you on because part of that, even though you're strapped into safety harnesses, is you physically have to jump to see if you can reach the next bar. And if you don't, you're safe, right? What's the big deal? I just tell that story and my palms get sweaty. It takes something we have to let go of, saying, I trust you so fully, God, better than safety harness. Because safety harness, you can knock your tooth on something or your face on something. But God doesn't do it that way. He says, trust me. I said, but you don't understand, that is a big jump. Trust me. God's love is not demanding. Can a loving and righteous God force men into heaven who don't want Him? I want your paycheck, but I don't want you to be my boss. I want the benefits of intimacy, fidelity, security, and fulfillment, but I don't want to submit myself to any restraint. God's love is not demanding. I think that's hard for us to understand. Because when you make your kid kiss Aunt Myrtle, is your kid loving Aunt Myrtle? No. God could make us kiss Him. God could make us bend our knee and worship Him. God could turn us into a puddle. But is that the same as loving Him? It's such a peculiar thing. I'm convicted all the time of my shallow love. My shallow love likes to be noticed. If I get my wife flowers, which is an amazing thing, okay? She's not a big flower person, but I do get them occasionally. I go to Costco because they're a really nice bouquet for a little bit of money, so it kind of fits my personality. And I'll get them, I take them home, I put them on the counter. When I come home, what do I want her to say to me? Oh, Scott, you shouldn't have. I want her to notice. Well, I just think about love is such that I can do something and not be noticed. Drop some groceries on somebody's porch and leave for them never to know who gave it. Send a note to somebody. Send a check in. Well, don't send a check as your name on it. Drop something in a mailbox for nobody to know on it. They know they're loved. They know somebody cares about them. But you don't get the credit for it. God's love is not demanding. Not only is God's love not demanding, God's love is revealing. How does God determine those who love Him because of who He is and not for what He gives them? He does it by giving us choices that we have to make based on His character, not on what we can see. One of the first verses that we had our kids memorize was out of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways, Some of us acknowledge Him in all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. That, is, to me, is like the perfect example of faith that says, I trust you, God, for who you are, who your character is, a God who loves me infallibly, inexplicably, undeniably, consistently, faithfully, versus what I can see. We're supposed to make plans. We're supposed to plan ahead and think through things. But at some point, there's a gap that happens where we got to trust God. We don't know. Some of my best decisions have been ones of faith. We can look back at them and people say, wow, that was great. But you're walking through it, you don't know. It's a decision that you get to trust God for. It's revealing because it reveals your understanding of God's character. Do I make decisions just on what I can see? Or do I make decisions based on who God is and His character? God's love is a choice. God's love is a choice. 2 Peter, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You know, how God loves, you could keep going. Because I was thinking as I was looking at this verse, you could say, how God loves, God's love is patient. Because He waits. He says, I think this guy's going to come around. I'm going to love him one more way for him to acknowledge me and choose me and recognize who I am. How can a loving God send people to hell? God doesn't send people to hell. Just like the young man who damaged his eyes by staring at the sun, people choose to ignore the warning. People choose not to respond to the invitation to receive God's love. It's one of those peculiar things. We all can acknowledge in parenting that parents who love their parents don't remove consequences of their choices. But you could say, hey, trust me. Did what I say last time work out? Yeah. And trust me. I know you want to go to that thing, but it's not good for me. Trust me. Going to hell is not God's choice. It wasn't created for you and me. It was created for Satan and his demons because of their rebellion. Here's something crazy too, is you talk about what are the three things that Paul say remain in eternity? Faith, hope, and love. Those remain in heaven. When we get to heaven, you will not have your answers all given to you. Why? Because God is way bigger than we even will have questions for. Satan was the most powerful, his name was Lucifer, the most powerful, beautiful angel in all of heaven. Created being. And he had to have faith. Okay, and he's got all these angels going, you got it going down, Lucifer. Man, you are amazing. You're so discerning. You're so wise. You're so powerful. And he starts to believe this stuff. He did not have faith to believe that God was bigger and better than him. Not even like bigger and better, like exponentially. Right? He didn't. Even angels have to exercise faith. They talk about they're amazed and they don't know what the end's going to look like. They are amazed at God's love. Watching how God has made man a little bit lower than angels for this season. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be telling angels what to do. We're going to be able to have them serve us. God's design was not for men to experience hell, but those who rebel against Him. God is, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm really inadequate of explaining God's love. We don't understand how much God loves us. He's not demanding. He doesn't force himself on us. But that's not an indication of the depth of his love for us. And for us to accuse him of being unthoughtful and mean and all the things the world accuses him of, it is so not true. Oh, he sang that song. He's a good, good father. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. So we can look at hell and say, oh, God loves us. God loves me enough to reach down and give me an opportunity to acknowledge him. And I just, the eclipse was so cool. It was cooler than I had ever thought it was going to be. But you know what it made me do? Worship God. To see that beauty, to see the stunningness of it. And go, God, you're an amazing God. You knew that was coming. And we just get a little glimpse of it for 2 minutes. And with glasses, maybe 2 hours. Amazing God who loves us. There's a choice every one of us must make. Out of God's love, he's designed hell prevention glasses. Here's how you put them on. I put on the righteousness that came through Jesus, who died in punishment for my sins. I put on God's love by walking in daily relationship and obedience to him, and it changes how I treat people. It changes how I treat people. It changes how I live. So when I take that self-test, does my life reflect Jesus? I can say yes, because I have experienced God's love. This question seems, I don't know, help you understand as we walk through these questions that you may not have heard done as a sermon series. And are like, oh, those are baby questions. Do you see how walking through them can grow our faith? Do you see how touching and feeling and asking those questions and, oh, what does love look like? What does God's love look like? And the hardcore reality in that choice is Mark 16:16. It says, hey, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. I believe God loves us so much. And in this season, we get to walk out lives that reflect that character. And say, okay, Lord, I believe you got good plans for me. This ain't looking so good right now, but I believe you got good plans for me. So I'm going to keep doing what you're telling me to do. Any of you guys in tough situations that you want to give up on? Okay? If it's something God's telling you to walk in, by walking in it, you get to experience God's love. I can't tell you when and how and what it's going to look like, but I know from my own life, you will experience it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for your love for us. Lord, thank you that you didn't create hell for men. Lord, but you invite us to protect ourselves from the damage of sin. You say, here's my hell prevention glasses. Put them on. Don't go there. Don't do that. It will wreck you. Lord, but you don't demand. You don't put us on the ground and force us to put anything on. Lord, you invite us into relationship because of love. By definition, love is not demanding. Love doesn't force, but love acts. Love does. Lord, I just pray this morning, give an opportunity for maybe people for the first time would put on those hell prevention glasses. to walk in righteousness, to give opportunity to respond. And if you haven't made that decision before, I'm not going to embarrass you, but you just raise your hand. Say, hey, you know what? I got to do that. I haven't done that yet. And you'd raise your hand. And we want to see you get baptized, not as a salvation, but as a testimony to who Jesus is in your life. Some of us just need a reminder. It's like, man, I've been looking at the wrong stuff. My retina of my heart is getting damaged. God's given me warnings, and I'm not experiencing His love because I'm not walking in it. If that's you this morning, we want to pray together. You can raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah. All kinds of ways. Experiencing God's love is experienced through obedience to His Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, I just thank You for Your word. Lord, I thank You for Your love relationship that didn't stop 2,000 years ago with the death and resurrection of Jesus, but that it continues to expand. Just like our universe is expanding, Your love is continuing to expand. Lord, in ways that we can't imagine. Lord, would You help us to see the beauty of it? To see the beauty of Your love. The beauty of trusting Your character rather than what we see or what we can plan. Lord, I just pray that as we walk away from this time, that we would see the hugeness of a God who loves us and loves the world. That we would be friends to the world that would say, hey, I found these cool hell prevention glasses. Just like the solar eclipse glasses that allow you to see something you never could see before. And at the same time, protect you from damage. God's got incredible glasses for our souls. Share the word this week. Lord, help us to see those opportunities. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you guys. Enjoy. I understand football season has started. Those of you who are Beaver fans probably wished you weren't. Yeah. But if you would like prayer, not only for your football team, but more seriously, just about what's going on, we have several people who'd love to pray with you. Stick around for a few minutes, have some coffee and some friendship.